If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, oh, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. Oh, if you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain. Oh, come on, sing it tonight. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. Hallelujah. Oh, if you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. Yes, if you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, my God is a chain breaker. Oh, come on, somebody give me praise if you're glad he's a chain breaker tonight. Amen. Before we get going, sing this old song with me tonight. Well, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Well, he saved my soul. Put my name upon the roll. He saved my soul. So put my name upon the roll. He's my friend. Oh, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Told me to run on. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Told me to run on. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Told me to run on. He's my friend. Well, he picked me up and he turned me around. He picked me up and he turned me around. Church, he picked me up and he turned me around. He's my friend. I'm glad that can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody now do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Well, he's my friend. Yes, he is my friend. I'm so glad that he is my friend. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, come on, somebody give him praise if he's your friend tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. That's what we came to do this weekend, is to give God the praise he deserves. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated in the house of the Lord. Turn to somebody and tell them he's my friend. Amen. Don't worry about how I'm acting or how I'm praising. I'm just praising my friend tonight that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Switch out with you. Amen. Again, it's a joy and an honor to be with you. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in these next three services.
And I didn't bring revival in my suitcase. I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but I didn't do it. Amen. Revival don't come that way. Unfortunately, I wish I could sometimes just bring it out of my pocket, throw it on people. But it don't work that way. Amen. Revival comes through people coming together, through preparation of prayer, seeking God's face, laying some time and some things aside and saying, Lord, I want you more than anything else in this world. Amen. I heard one man of God say that miracles, if we want to see them come, the breeding ground comes through the spirit of expectancy. And I believe that's what we're losing in some places in the church today is that spirit of expectancy. But I believe it's stirring back up again in many places. I'm going to talk about it here in just a little bit, but as I've evangelized for quite some time now, I can see a shift taking place in the church where people are getting hungry for a move of God again. They're tired of the same old, and they're ready to experience an all-out anointing of God. And I believe that's why you're here tonight on a Friday night. You're finished with work. Most of you that work through Friday, some may have to work through the weekend, but you could have been doing anything else on a free Friday night. But you said, I want to come to the house of the Lord, and God will honor that. Amen. And if you'll put forth the effort, amen, I believe we'll see God show forth His glory. Amen. We can't expect God just to show up and us not show up. We got to do our part. Amen. And I believe as we give God everything He deserves, we've taken the time to come over here tonight. You may be tired and weary, but if you'll give God an extra effort, give Him a sacrifice of praise, you'll see God do great things in our midst. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I feel the spirit of expectancy in the house. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Couldn't get away from this scripture. This is usually something I would probably preach the way the message is arranged. I probably would have liked to get my feel of you and you get your feel of me before I got here, but we're just going to go ahead and do it. If you don't come back tomorrow, oh well, hallelujah. Amen. I did my part. I had to do what God wanted me to do. Amen. But this is probably something I would have done toward the middle or the end of the revival if it was me, but I felt such a strong urgency. This is something God has placed in my heart for some time, just stirring within my heart, stirring within my spirit, and I couldn't get it off of my mind and off of my spirit as I was preparing to come this way this weekend. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, if you have it, shout amen. 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 It reads like this, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now skip over to chapter 5. I want us to look at verses 38 through 42. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 38. And this is the area I want to zero in on. We read where the church started. And you'll find where some tried to come against the people of God after they'd been filled with the Holy Ghost. They had some people that tried to come against them. And this is the word that came to them. In verse 38, he said, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. I like this right here. For if this counsel be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. I'm going to say that again. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the Lord, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, even though they were told not to, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, and this is where we'll stop. 6 and verse 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Can we pray? And as we're opening up this revival with the first message, I want you to help me pray for the Spirit of God to have His way from this point all the way on until we finish Sunday night. Will you pray that way? Dear Heavenly Father, we've come to worship You in spirit and in truth. God, I've gathered together with people of like faith. I feel a spirit of expectancy in the house. There's excitement in the atmosphere. And Lord, we have come believing for You to show great signs and wonders. Lord, tonight I'm asking You to open up the windows of heaven and let Your glory fill this place tonight. God, I come humbly but boldly before Your throne. I can't preach without You. I can't talk without you. I can't go without you. I can't move without your anointing tonight. So, Lord, let your anointing fall fresh, God. Let me speak that which only you would have me to say. God, anoint every person, every ear, every heart, God, to hear that which you have for them, God. Lord, let them take it to heart, God, and do your will and do your work in these last days. God, in every service that we have this weekend, let your presence take full control. It's your church and not ours. And we're believing you to do what you will. We get out of the way and say, Holy Ghost, have thine way and do what you will. Holy Ghost, have thine own way and do what you will in this place. Heal those that need healing. Deliver those that are bound. Comfort those who are lonely. Fill those who are empty. Revive us once again, O Spirit of God. And we'll thank you and praise you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. As we look at this passage tonight in Acts chapter 2, we find where the church first began. We know the church began with people who were hungry for an outpouring of His Spirit. They were looking for the Comforter to come. Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, I got to go away, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send you another Comforter. He said, tarry here and wait. Tarry in my presence and know that the Comforter will surely come. Well, we know not everybody wanted to tarry. Not everybody wanted to stay. But after a while, as they began to tarry, those that would, the 120 that stayed around, the Holy Spirit finally came, and the mighty rushing wind filled the house where they were sitting, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. The church had begun. Hallelujah. And we can see time and time again how God has moved throughout the church one place after another since that beginning. There are some that would like to say Pentecost stopped there. Some would like to say speaking in tongues stopped there. It was only for the apostles. It was only for that time in that place. However, we can look throughout our own country and we can see where revival had been sparked. You can go back to the 1700s where we saw the first great awakening. You can go to the 1800s where we had the second great awakening. You can go to the businessmen's revival in 1857 and 1858. You can go to the Civil War revival in the 1860s, the urban revivals in the 1870s, the 1880s, the revivals of 1905 and 1906, which then sparked the Azusa Street Revival we know so well in 1906. Then there's the post-World War II awakening that we encountered in the 1940s, and then the Charismatic Renewal and Jesus Movement that came in the 1960s and 1970s. And it goes on, and even in the mid-1990s we experienced a moving of the Holy Spirit within America. And then the last revival that we have a record of that swept our country or did a great matter of moving within our country was called the Promise Keepers Revival that also took place in the mid-1990s. And I wanted to give you a history to show where God has moved since Acts chapter 2. God has still shown His glory since Acts chapter 2. God was still moving. However, the problem I have is that history stops in the mid-1990s and I'm in 2019. We've not seen an all-out revival in some time in America. And what the experts are saying right now is that we are either on the brink of the greatest revival or we are on the brink of seeing the church shut down. We're either going to see God pour out His glory, people are going to get hungry for God and revival is going to show up, or we're going to see the church decrease to a place where they'll never rise again. We're at a crossroads right now with the church. We're at a place where we're going one way or the other. I was in revival in Charlotte not too long ago with Pastor Roy Tucker. And while we were in that revival, God moved tremendously. And he made this statement, and it stuck with me. He said, if Pentecost dies, it's our fault. If Pentecost dies, it's not the next generation's fault. It's not the last generation's fault. It's our fault. And I'm just in this place where if Pentecost began in Acts chapter 2, and that's what God wanted to do, He wanted to send His Comforter. And if the Holy Ghost has moved time and time again, as I've given you a history of revivals that have poured out in America, my question to the church today is, why should we stop now? And I want to entitle this message tonight, Why Stop Now? We've seen God do great and mighty things. Why would we want to throw in the towel now? We've seen God pour out His glory within our individual churches time and time again. Why would we want to stop now? We've come this far praying and singing and giving God praises in His glory filling the temple. Why would we want to stop now? I know that we're in trying times. I know that there's a political correct way to do things. Oh, but I've come to tell you there's nothing like an old-fashioned heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival that gets down in your soul, that causes you to shake, that causes you to tremble. Oh, a revival that'll cause the sinner to come and be saved. A revival that'll cause people to get out of their comfort zone and say, you know what? I wouldn't normally act like this, but I'm so excited about what God's doing in my life. I can't help but to lift my hands and praise Him. I can't help but to take a walk around the sanctuary. I can't help but to give God the praise that He truly deserves. Somebody give Him a hand clap of praise tonight. Look at somebody and ask them, why stop now? Why are we going to stop now when we've come this far? I'm just determined Pentecost is not going to die on my watch. I know that I'm considered old school, and I've asked myself plenty of times, and I've asked the Lord, God, why didn't you put me back in the 50s and 60s? Let me enjoy it when people actually like coming to church, when you didn't have to beg people to come to church, when you didn't have to give them a cup of coffee just to come to church. You know what people look for when they come to church? This is what the statistics say. When people come to a new church, these are two things they look for: how clean the nursery is, how nice it is, and how clean and nice the bathrooms are. And that'll make their decision whether they're going to stay at your church or not. It don't have to do anything with the music, has nothing to do with the preaching. Whether the anointing's there or not, just as long as you got a clean nursery and a clean bathroom, you're doing good. Hallelujah. Sounds pretty easy, don't it, Pastor? Amen. It's amazing that these are the kind of things people are looking for. They come to the church to see, what can the church give me? What can the church do for me? How can the church help me? That's not what the church is about. Hallelujah. The church came that we could be put into action, that we would have a pastor put over us that would lead us in the right direction, that would step on our toes when we need our toes stepped on, that would lead us in the ways that we need to go, and then we can fulfill the calling that God has done for us. Quit looking for what the church can do for you and begin to say, what can I do for the church? What can I do for the will of God to be fulfilled in these last days? My Lord. I got a 2-year-old little boy, and I'm determined, since I found out that we were going to have a baby, I was determined my son was going to get Jesus number one, and he was going to know what Pentecost was second. Hallelujah. And he's already working to where he can lay hands on people. He knows how to pray. Amen. My grandmother's in the hospital sick right now, and he knows how to say, Jesus, touch mama. Hallelujah. He knows what it is to see people slain in the power of the Holy Ghost. He don't understand it all yet, but we're teaching him what the Holy Ghost is. We're teaching him what the Spirit of God is. I'll say, Corbin, where's the Holy Ghost? And he'll raise his little hands like this. Amen. He knows something's happening when Daddy gets to praising. He knows something's happening when people get to worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. We've got to teach the next generation what the power of Pentecost is all about. Help me, Lord. I grew up in a Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized church, amen, and it's still that way. Hallelujah. Thank God for that in these times and days. And when I went out, God started calling me to evangelism, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And I'll give you more background maybe later, but I was quiet, backwards. I know you wouldn't believe it tonight. And it took everything. It had to be God. I said, Lord, if it's you, you're going to have to do it. Because there's no way I'm getting up in front of anybody and saying anything. This is what the Holy Ghost will do. It's more than a shout or a jump or a dance. It'll fulfill your calling for you. Amen. And I stepped out into my calling. I can remember getting a booking at this church or a booking at that church. And I can remember growing up going to some of these churches in my area. And I was thinking, man, we're going to have a time over there. Because I can remember growing up how the Spirit of God moved in that place. Lord, I walked in that place and it was dry as cracker juice. Got up to preach, and I'd have paid somebody just to say amen. I'd have gave them my whole check back if somebody would just act like they knew what I was talking about. Sit there like knots on the log, and I'm thinking, what in the world? And I would go to the next church, and I was thinking, my goodness, what have I got myself into? I say, Lord, if it's all right with you, I'll just go back to my home church, and I'll shout and have a good time there and enjoy the presence of God and preach when they let me preach. And God started dealing with my heart. He said, Adrian, nope, that's not what I've called you to do. He said, I've called you to do a work. And he took me to Revelation 3, verse 11 that says, Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And he said, Adrian, I put you in such a time as this to have a hunger for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost like it was in Acts chapter 2. To remind the church that many are sitting on their calling. Many have pressed back from the moving of the Holy Spirit. Many have tried to push the Holy Ghost to a side room. Many are trying to do everything they can to restrain the services to where it's just programmatic and it goes just such and such. And he said, I've sent you to remind the church that I'm coming soon. And they need to hold on to what they've got. They need to hold on to the power of Pentecost. They need to hold on to the Spirit of God. Hold on to the presence and the power of the Spirit. Somebody shout amen. And I believe what's happened in many places. I was telling my church Sunday, I said, you know, we've become so accustomed, and sometimes I have to wake myself up and remind myself I am an adult now. Amen. Sometimes we all feel like a kid. But we've taken for granted for so long the old generation that took what it took to pray, did what it took to encounter the presence of God. They did what it took to invoke the presence of God to come in the room. And we, for so long, we've ridden on mom and daddy's coattail. For so long, we've counted on grandma so-and-so to praise the Lord. We've counted on grandpa so-and-so to shout and give God praise. And now we're losing a generation that got us to where we are today. And we're still hoping that we're going to ride on their coattail. We're going to have to wake up and realize we're now the grandmas and grandpas. We're now mama and daddy. We got to do what it takes so the next generation can experience the power of Pentecost. When I knew I was really in trouble, when I first started out evangelizing, is when I went to a church and we got in the altar service, the Holy Ghost did get to moving, and the Spirit of God was moving on parents and grandparents. The children started crying and screaming and running to the back of the church. And the pastor went back there to make sure everybody was okay. A couple more people went back there to see if they were okay. And they were afraid because they had never seen their mama and daddy under the influence of the Holy Ghost. There's a problem in the church if we call ourselves Church of God and the Holy Ghost is not moving on us on the inside. Parents, we've got to teach our children what it is to be under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to praise. And some of you may say, well, it's not worth all that. It may not, but it takes all of that because the enemy is out working like he never has before. We need to be doing all that we can to get our children baptized in the Spirit so they don't become drug addicts and drunkards. We need to be doing all we can to prepare an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can move. We want to know why they don't come back after college and why they don't come back after they get out of high school. There's nothing to see in most places anymore. There's nothing to encounter in most places anymore. There's nothing exciting to them about church. We got to stir the excitement. Once again, they used to say, if you'll start a fire, somebody will come watch it burn. Amen. And I found that true in my life. God started a fire in my life, and he's opened door after door for my ministry without me having asked one soul for them to let me come preach. I've come to tell you, if you'll start a fire, there will people come, and they will come to experience what you are experiencing in this house. If you will invoke the presence of God. But see, not everybody wants what I'm preaching tonight, and some won't come back tomorrow because of what I'm preaching. And that's okay, because there were 500 that heard what Jesus had to say. If you'll just tarry, the Comforter will come. And only 120 wanted. The other 380 said, we don't have time to tarry. The other 380 said, we can't come out on a Friday night. The other 380 said, we don't have time to tarry in the altars. We got to get to Shoney's. Others said, we don't have time to be in the presence of God and wait on him because we got other things that we've got to do. And if we're ever in a day of distraction, we're in it today. My Lord, anything you want to be, you can be on social media. That stuff will keep you wrapped up more than anything else in this world will. And the enemy can use things like this that are good tools, but they can become bad real quick. taking up our time, distracted by TV, distracted by this. But let's not even go to distractions. Let's go to the busyness of the world that we're in today that we weren't in before. Everybody's got this going on and that going on, and we got our kids so busy and this, that, or the other, we don't even have time to fit church in. The busyness, the distractions that are all around us, nobody has time, and there's just a remnant that still says, I'm hungry for a true outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There's still a remnant that says, you know what? I know the world's in a mess, and at times I've wondered if God's ever going to show up in my church again. But I've just got a hunger, and I've just got a thirst, and I've just got to say something is getting ready to happen with the remnant of God. Revival is coming. But it's not coming just to anybody. It's coming to the remnant that said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I've come to tell somebody tonight, if you want revival, you can have it. Oh, for his eyes are searching to and fro, looking for somebody he can feel. And there's a lot of people who don't want this power. They don't want this anointing, but there's a group here tonight at the Biltmore Church that says, I want to be filled to the uttermost with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The world may not want it, the world may not understand it, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody give him praise in the house. Look at somebody and ask them, why stop now? Come on, help me preach tonight. Look at somebody and ask them, why stop now? Why are we going to stop here when we've come this far? I think of pastors who have already gone on to glory, they've gone on to heaven, who have paved the way so that I could stand up here and preach to you in a nice facility like this, who have paved the way so we could have air conditioning and padded pews and come to church comfortably. They put blood, sweat, and tears, sacrificed jobs, sacrificed money to pour into the church of God. Had a vision. My Lord, you got to have a vision to do all that they did. You wouldn't dare find many that would do that today. But they had a vision, a burning desire to see the church move forward, to see the church filled with the power of God, and got it to where it is. And then it was time the Lord took them on. But churches all over the globe that have been started by men and women like that. And I many times thought to myself, I say, Lord, if they were to come back to some of their churches, what would they say? If they were to come back to the places that they started, what would they have to say about what's going on in the church? Some would come and the doors would be shut because the church couldn't go on anymore. Some would come and they'd find nothing but entertainment going on in the church. Some would come, I'm afraid to say, they'd find Ichabod written on some churches because so many people have said, we don't want the presence of God. And that just burns something within me. Because I'm thinking, God, you're the same God that called them that's calling me. And I know we're in a different time and a day, but there ought to be the same kind of vision to see souls saved. There ought to be the same kind of passion to see people delivered. Hallelujah. I believe if we want to see the church grow again, we're going to have to go back and get the hearts of those who got us to where we are today and say, Lord, send your power just now. I know we got nice buildings. I know we got nice sound equipment. I know, God, we got all of these nice things, but nothing replaces the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Put on the biggest show you want to put on in town. There'll be another church that'll do it bigger and better. There'll be another group in the world that could do it much better than we can do. We can't compete with this world except with the power of the Holy Ghost. We got something that nobody else can give them. We've got something that no alcohol can give them. We've got something that no drug can give them. We have the anointing. We were created to praise the Lord. And we have the key to their victory. My God, not everybody wants this moving of the Spirit. Not everybody wanted revival in America. And many even tried to stop them moving in the beginning of our great denomination, the Church of God. Not everybody wants the Spirit, and not everybody wants to see signs and wonders. Not everybody wants to see Pentecost continue. But look what Jude said in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." Somebody say, contend for the faith. Yeah, that means we got to fight for the faith. We got to fight for what's rightfully ours, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men who are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a group like this that's in the church even now. And some are even leaders that they have the background of Pentecost, but they have a demonic agenda. They've got a background of, oh, I've been in the church for this many years. I've been in the church of God for this many years. But their heart has been turned, and now they're turning the grace of God into a manner that is not of God. They're turning the grace of God into a thing that you can live however you want to live and still make it to heaven. They're preaching demonic agenda that is dragging people straight to the pits of hell. They're turning our God into some kind of God that'll just accept anything and that'll just do anything for anybody. But we must remember that there are people like this out here, and if we're not careful, they will pull us into a place of deception. They will pull even us, Church of God folk, into a place of deception to think that we can believe whatever they have to say. That's why it's important to know what this Bible says for yourself. Don't you take just anything that comes off that television. Don't just take anything that comes off the internet. Back it up with the Word and see if the Word... And don't just take one verse that they gave you either. Because the enemy knows how to take one verse and twist it. He tried to do it with Jesus. He can take one verse and twist it to make it sound like, oh, that sounds like it'd be all right. You need to read the whole thing in context. Study that thing out. Know what it means. Because there are people out that are led by the demons from hell trying to stray us in a different way. But look what Jude said we needed to do when we come in this kind of manner. Beloved, building up yourselves, in verse 20, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, others saving with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. We got to keep contending for the faith. We got to fight for this thing. There's a man that many of you probably listened to. You probably read his books. I've read some of it. But then I found out he's got an unholy agenda that he goes about. And he holds these conferences and he's written a book about it. And it's called Strange Fire Conference. And he goes on in this pretty much to put down the Pentecostal church and to say that it's not of God. He tries to pull church folk, Pentecostal folk, over in his arena that are unsure about Pentecost. And he tries to bring out different scriptures to tell them that Pentecost stopped in the Bible days. He goes on to try to tell them that Pentecost ends then. And he says speaking in tongues is just a bunch of jibber-jabberish, and a matter of fact, it's of the devil. He goes that far to go into this. I've read it. I've studied it out. And it's all out attack against Pentecost and to try to get people to turn away from the gifts of the Spirit. And he says, that's strange fire. That shouting is strange fire. That dancing in the Spirit is strange fire. It's not of God. See, but what he don't understand is the shouting, the dancing, and the jumping around, and the speaking in tongues. That's just a testimony of what God's done. Speaking in tongues is the evidence. That's not all the Holy Ghost he is. That's just the evidence of what he's done in my life. My God, the Holy Ghost is more than shouting, dancing, and jumping around. I love to do all of it. But he's much more than that. Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. So if you don't want any of the Spirit, you don't want the shouting, the dancing, the speaking in tongues, you don't want the moving of the Spirit in your life, you choose to say, I don't want any comfort when troubled times come my way. That's the way I take what Jesus said. I won't leave you comfortless. And if you don't want my comforter, then you choose to be comfortless. And that's where many people are. They need to understand that the Holy Ghost moving the way that he does is comfort to this troubling soul. My God, I'm not shouting and dancing just because everything is going good all the time. Matter of fact, when I'm shouting at my best, I'm probably going through the worst thing I've ever faced in my life. But the reason that I shout, the reason that I dance, the reason I'm open to letting the Spirit move is because I've got to have that comfort in the trying times of my life. I've got to have the Holy Ghost to make it in and day out. I'm not ashamed to say I need the Comforter. Hallelujah. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was on a missions trip in New Mexico on the Navajo Nation. And that night, it was a Wednesday night. That church that we were helping out that week had a service. And there was a lady by the name of Pastor Sandy. She was the pastor of that church. And we were all standing there in the altar. And she said, "Who here needs the Holy Ghost?" Well, I was standing there thinking, "Yeah, I do, but I'm not going first." Amen. Hallelujah. We all been there. But before I could even get that in my mind or in my spirit, here come one of the men from my church. And he just said, "Here, he needs the Holy Ghost." And pushed me right in the middle. Amen. I grew up in that church. You're going to get the Holy Ghost. Not if. Do you want the Holy Ghost? No, you're going to get it. Amen. Anybody grow up in that kind of church? You're going to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I remember raising my hands and worshiping the Lord and giving him praise. She said, "Just begin to worship him. Get lost in his presence." She laid hands on me and I was laid out in the Spirit. I remember waking up somewhere back in here in the middle of that church, and I woke up speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Hallelujah. You can't teach somebody to speak in tongues. It's a gift from the Holy Ghost as you yield yourself to him. And I woke up in that unknown tongue. I couldn't lift myself up off the floor. There was so much power. But see, during this time from ages 8 to age 11, just a little bit of my testimony, I fought the spirit of fear, demonic powers from hell. Nights I could hear demons, nights I felt demons. And I'm not going to go into everything because I know there are children here, but I want to encourage parents. You need to teach them what it is to fight for themselves against the spirits from hell. They need the Holy Ghost because the enemy is not afraid to mess with them. And I dealt with that spirit of fear. Nights I'd shake and tremble and cry in fear. Nights I couldn't even call on mama and daddy. And one night it got really bad and they came in there and they begin to rebuke the enemy and plead the blood. And they even try to switch my room thinking that may help things and help matters. And it came even worse. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then I came home that night after we had got back from the missions trip, I got home that night and that spirit came that much stronger. And somebody say, "Well, why didn't it go when your parents rebuked it?" Because it was a personal attack and I believe God wanted to teach me a lesson. And in that night, that spirit of fear was so strong and it was trying to take me out. Something in my mind just began to say, "You don't have to deal with this anymore." And I got up out of my bed and I said, "Devil, I'm sick and tired of this. And I don't have to deal with this anymore. And I'm not going to." I begin to quote scriptures like, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." I said, "Devil, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And in the name of Jesus, you got to go." Now, you don't have to believe this if you don't want to. It's my testimony anyway. But when I said, "In the name of Jesus," there's a big old bang that went against my door. I'll never forget it. I got up out of the bed. I went, "Look, Mom and Dad were sound asleep. My little sister was sound asleep. It was so quiet in the house, no TV on or anything." I went back in my room, and when I wondered what had happened, I knew what had happened when I got back in that room, because the spirit of fear that had fought me for 3 years was no longer there. I knew that the sound I heard was the sound of the enemy leaving my room at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost was more to me than a shout or a dance then. But the Holy Ghost proved to me that he is a comforter and he will give you power. Oh, he said, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." I've come to tell you, I hope we shout and dance this week, but more than that, I hope somebody gets some power from the Holy Ghost to run the devil away from your family, run the devil away from your home, run the devil away from your children. I come to tell you,
He's given us power, not just to speak in tongues, but power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, power over all the powers of hell. I've come to tell somebody tonight, we need the Holy Ghost. Why stop now when we've had this power? Let's continue on in the spirit of Pentecost. Somebody give him praise in this house. Somebody let that anointing move in your life. Hallelujah to God. He'll give you power. He'll give you authority. I can remember a time when my mom was sick in bed. Times we didn't know if we were going to come home and find her dead or alive. The enemy came against her so strong. She couldn't work. My dad was working two jobs, and I was fighting something. And this wasn't too long after, probably 6th, 7th, 8th grade, somewhere in there. So a few years after I'd received the Holy Ghost. And I was just dealing with my mom, seeing my mom like that, things I was dealing with at the school. And I needed somebody to talk to. Couldn't talk to mom because she was unable to talk. She was so weak and so sick. I remember going to my room, and I knew to call on Jesus, but I just couldn't seem to call on him. I knew who I needed to talk to, and I just couldn't seem to get it out. All I could do was cry. But I want you to know the Lord knows the language of tears. Romans 8:26 says, we know not how to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. My God, and as I cried there and I was weeping, all of a sudden something began to come out of me. That language that I was filled with from on high began to pray on my behalf. Where I couldn't pray, he was praying for me. Where I didn't know how to pray, he knew how to pray for me. Oh, hallelujah. You explain to me how the Holy Ghost ain't real. When I got up from that room at the age of 13 or 14 years old and I didn't speak one word of English, but the load that I had on my shoulders was gone. You've come too late to tell me that the Holy Ghost is not real. You've come too late to tell me that Pentecost is not for the church today. Oh, you may not want it, but it doesn't mean we can't have it. Hallelujah. There may be a group against it, but that does not mean his spirit stops just because one person says it ain't going to move anymore. My God, some people don't want it, but some people don't want to do what it takes to receive it either. They don't want to do what it takes to receive the power of God. They don't want to lay down some things they need to lay down to experience the power of God. They don't want to lay aside the weights that so easily beset them to experience the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. I got to hush because I'm getting too long tonight. I'm just excited. Y'all done got me stirred up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm usually a 35-minute preacher. I probably done went over that. You can go back to see where the church of God first started and see where the church moved along, and people started just laying aside anything and everything. They didn't do this, they didn't do that. And my God, they even laid aside Coca-Cola and then put it in the doctrine. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not drink Coca-Cola. Glory to God. They were serious about that Coca-Cola thing. Amen. They got to in their mind, you know, it was a sin to drink Coca-Cola. They didn't have enough sense to think because I laid aside Coca-Cola. I just laid aside something I'd normally done, and God was willing to move. And I know we laugh about it right now, and it is funny. But think about the heart that was behind it, that they were willing to get rid of anything just so God could move. There was a true burning heart behind it that wanted to see the power of God shown. So now we're in a place that we'd give up anything. Now we don't want to give up anything at all. We'd give up everything, but now we don't want to give up nothing. I'm not telling you to stop drinking Coca-Cola unless the Lord convicts you to do it or you want to lay something aside. My Lord, wonder what God would do if we'd lay aside some Facebook time and get in his book.
What would happen if we got off the phone and off texting for a little while and we started praying for the power of the Holy Ghost to move? What would happen if we lay aside Coca-Cola for a little bit and just see what God would want to do in our life? If you lay aside just something, give up something in your life and watch what the Spirit of God will do in our lives. Some people don't want to do what it takes, but if you want to see revival, you got to do what it takes to get there, lay some things aside for the glory of God and let Him show forth His glory in our presence. Hallelujah. I've come to tell you, church, we can't go and stop where we're at. I've come to encourage us to go forward in the power of the Holy Ghost. I've come to encourage us to go forward in the power and the anointing of God. Believe it or not, there's people looking for what we've got. There's people looking for true Pentecost. I have people call me from all over the place saying, can you please help me find a church where the Spirit of God moves? People are looking for signs and wonders. We want to prove something to the world today. Let's quit talking about what God can do and let's show them what He can do. Let's quit talking about healing and let's show them the healing that He is. Let's show them the powerful man of God, the powerful God and woman of God that we are in His presence. Let's quit talking about it. And let's see Him begin to do it. Will you just lift your hands all over this place? I feel the presence of God in this house. Holy Spirit, draw us closer to You than ever before. God, help us to lay aside the weights that so easily beset us. God, there may be some people in this house tonight, God, that they've questioned about giving up or throwing in the towel. God, they've said, what's the point in all of this? What's the point in giving God all I've got when I'm not getting anything out of it? The enemy has deceived some to say that their calling is over, that their days of ministry are over. But we rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. And we say, Lord, let us get an anointing in our soul that will cause us to ask the question, why should I stop now? We've come too far to turn back now. Holy Spirit, refire. Rekindle the fire, God, within us all tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you're hungry for more of God tonight, I want you to stand with me all over this place. Oh, I feel the Spirit of God moving. I feel a hunger stirring. Oh, God, Holy Spirit of God. That's it, just worship Him. That's it. Just talk to Him. He's here. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here. The Comforter that you've been longing for is here. The peace that you've been needing, He's here tonight. Oh, somebody just let the Holy Ghost have His way in your life right now. We need You, Jesus. Have Your way. Have Your way, Holy Ghost. We yield ourselves to You, Spirit of God. Have Your way, Holy Ghost. Devil don't want this tonight, because some of you about to get loosed of some chains he's had wrapped around you. The devil don't want this tonight because there's some marriages and families about to be restored, what he's tried to take from you. The devil don't want it. Just because he don't want it doesn't mean you can't have it. Hallelujah. Just because he doesn't want it to be done, he has no say-so over what thus saith the Lord. My God. heads bowed and eyes closed all over this house, I want you to search yourself, search your heart. Search the place that you're in right now. My God, I feel such a heaviness in this house of His Spirit. The weight of His glory is in this house right now. And He's drawing some people in to go higher. He's drawing some people to draw close unto Him. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, you know what, the enemy's been coming against me and I've just been about to throw in the towel. I've been about ready to give up. But tonight I'm deciding I can't give up. I can't stop now. Would you raise that hand and say, preacher, that's me. I see that hand. Hallelujah. I've got to continue on in the power of God. I've got to continue on in what He has for me. I see those hands. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm hungry for what you're preaching about. I want more of God. I want more of His Spirit. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. Will you raise that hand tonight? Hallelujah. I see those hands. Hallelujah. Thank God. We want more of you. If you don't have the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you want to be filled with that gift, would you raise that hand tonight? I see that hand. Hallelujah. I see those hands. Hallelujah. I want to open up this altar. And if you've raised your hand for any reason, I want you to come tonight and stand at this altar with me. And let's just begin to seek the presence of God. Let's begin to lay aside every weight that easily beset us. And let's get lost in His presence tonight. Let's cry out to God in this place for Him to show forth His glory. For Him to show forth His presence. As you come tonight, forget everybody else around you. And just begin to come to Him. Empty yourself out. Cast all your cares on Him. And then say, Lord, fill me up with Your presence. Fill me with Your anointing. God, fill me with Your power. Come on, will you cry out to Him tonight? We're going to come pray with you. And we're going to believe the Spirit of God to be made known. Come on, don't leave this altar until you feel His presence touch you. My God, somebody needs to be restored their dance. Somebody needs to get their shout back. Somebody needs to get their anointing back. My God, somebody needs to get their hunger and thirst back for righteousness. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If I could have some prayer warriors come and help us pray in the altars. Those of you that are in your seat would like to help us pray tonight. Come let the Holy Spirit use you tonight to lift these up that are here. Have Your way, Spirit of God.